Well, hello again. Yes, this is Hull's Marketplace. Well, as you can see, there's not much market activity here today. But there had been market activity from the Middle Ages right through to the early 1950s. And it continued on until the 1980s in what we now know as Trinity Square. So please stay on the right-hand pavement and make your way towards Holy Trinity Church.
Sorry. Please make your way to the Hull Minster. I'll get used to calling that eventually, I promise.
In the middle of Market Place, you will see the superb gilt statue of King William III, William of Orange, dressed as a Roman emperor. Known locally as King Billy, he was erected in 1734. Once you reach King Billy, wait a moment. This market area has traded all manner of things over the years, and records show that near King Billy's statue in 1806, a man sold his wife for 20 guineas, and he delivered her in a halter to the purchaser, Mr. Houseman.
Yes, it really did happen.
Incidentally, there's an interesting picture of how the marketplace used to look in our Now and Then section on our website. Now, in front of King Billy is another example of Hull's superb public toilets. Built in 1902, it has changed very little over the years, with its Art Nouveau tiles and transparent systems. Hull seems to like putting their monarchs on or close to public toilets. Remember Queen Victoria? Well, I hope it's just a coincidence. Now, across the street, behind King Billy's statue, the King William Hotel. First referenced as a building in 1799, but it didn't become a hotel until 1834. Further along on the same side as King William Hotel, you will see a gold-coloured phone box. This is a tribute to Luke Campbell, Hull's gold medalist from the 2012 Olympics. Now behind you, you will see the new Magistrates' Court. I mention this only because it sits on the land that was occupied by a 13th century Augustinian monastery, whose monks and friars wore black robes, and they gave their name to Blackfriargate, the street we saw just before we crossed over Castle Street. Incidentally, when this area was excavated for this law court, the human remains revealed showed a high incidence of arthritis, probably because of the swampy conditions there were around this area at the time. Also, in the well-preserved graves, there were flagellation whips used by the monks as part of their religious rituals.
Also in the bones were evidence of syphilis. I don't think the monks could blame the ground for this condition, do you?
You can find out more about Hull and its monasteries and monks in the Want to Know More section on our website. So, back to the present. Please now carry on walking down Market Place.
From here you get an excellent view of the east end of Hull's Minster.
The earliest surviving parts of the church are from 1320. The brickwork you can see was made from locally produced bricks, and it is one of the earliest examples of a brick building still surviving in Britain today. Hull and Beverley were thought to be the first towns in the country since the Romans to go back to brick manufacture. This is probably because there is very little stone round here and a great deal of clay.
As you pass the Minster, just stop for a moment and look to your left,
down what is North Church side, and you will see Trinity Market Bell Tower again. You may recall we saw it from the other end, from Postern Gate, on the second stage of our walk. Next on the right, you'll see the old Corn Exchange Public House, originally a coffee house, dating back to the late 1600s. It didn't become an ale house until around the 1790s. Next to the Corn Exchange is the Trinity Youth Hostel, one-time Gaiety Picture House, built in 1912. And between them is an alleyway, which in Hull we call a 10-foot. Now, a 10-foot is a public access which runs to the back of a group of properties. Mind you, it doesn't have to be 10 feet wide, and it usually isn't. Next, you will see a large blue bell hanging from the wall, and the sign for it reads, you guessed it, The Old Blue Bell. You get to it down an alley under the sign. It's a Victorian pub, which has changed very little over the years. In fact, once inside, you'll feel like it could be 1880. Keep walking, and you will come to Liberty Lane. Please cross over and stay on the same side.
Please stop the guide at this point, and start again when you're on the other side.
Okay, so let's continue to walk down Marketplace. And again, on the other side of the street, you will see a rather elaborate four-bay front with a carved decorative archway. This is the entrance to Hepworth Arcade. We will have a closer look at Hepworth Arcade later on in the walk. Back on your side of the street is the old Custom House, now a restaurant. We get a better view of that from the other side of the street during stage 8 of our walk. You should now have reached Skate Lane. We turn right here, but just wait a moment and look at the buildings on three of the four corners. You may probably have already guessed that they had a previous life as City Centre Banks. The one diagonally opposite, with the word bank over the door, was the Midland, opened in 1890, and the one in front of you was the National Provincial, opened in 1900. These two are both now restaurants. The third one on the left was a branch of Lloyd's, also opened in 1900. It's now been developed into apartments. Oh, how the banks have changed. I think I perhaps ought to mention at this point that most of the ex-banks covered on the walk are now cafe bars and restaurants, but they have, on the whole, maintained their superb interiors. I think you might find it worthwhile to have a look in one or two of them just to see how things really have changed. Okay, so if you can now turn right and walk down Scale Lane and stay on the right.
As you walk down Scale Lane, you may get the sound of street traders or children begging. Don't worry, they're lingering from the 1880s, so just ignore them and they won't bother you. I will see you about halfway down Scale Lane.
Buy me, lucky ever, love.
Well, I hope those street traders weren't too much trouble. Well, he made it through to here, that's the main.
So here we are, about halfway down Scale Lane. As you walk, you will see a number of chambers on the left, many from the 19th century, and they were built as offices for solicitors, accountants, merchants and the like, and most of them still are today. You should now have in your view two pubs of quite contrasting histories. The first of these, on the left, is the William Hawkes. It takes its name from William Hawkes, gunsmith, who owned the property in 1820. On the right, you will see the Jacobean Revival-style pub, built in 1898. It's had many names over the years. It finally settled on Manchester Arms after the first ship that entered Queen's Dock in 1776. A bit late, perhaps, but there again, better late than never. Now, in front of you, you will see No. 5 Scale Lane, Hull's only surviving 15th-century house. You can see how each floor juts out from the one below in traditional medieval style. It's now a cafe bar and is well worth a visit.
If you look over the lane opposite number 5, note the entrance to the building called Burnett Avenue, built in 1880. It's hardly an avenue, but please know the heavy footwear on the doorstep. It's rather excessive for the entrance to a group of offices. The reason for this, it was originally built as an L-shaped alleyway giving public access to the properties down there. You will see the other entrance to this alley as we walk down High Street.
And now, at the end, facing you across High Street, is the Lion and Key Public House. It started out life as the Britannia Coffee House in 1812. It was renamed the Lion and Key when Wellington began his campaign against the Spanish at Rodrigo during the Peninsular Wars, where he declared the Lion now had the key to Spain.
There is more information about all the pubs round here in the Want to Know More section of our website.
So now please cross over Scale Lane and High Street and walk to the paved area, which is Scale Lane Staithe. Please pause the guide here and cross over High Street. Be careful because cars can come from behind you as well as from the right. If you need a drop curb, then please turn down High Street about 10 metres and cross over there and walk back to Scale Lane Staithe in front of the Lion and Key. Well, here we are in Scale Lane Staithe.
This is probably where Hull's business and commerce really began in the 13th century, and it remained at the heart of the city until well into the 19th century. Most of the wealthy merchants had their houses on this street with warehouses behind, reaching down to the riverside, so they could load and unload goods directly onto ships and barges from their own backyard. You can see a very good example of this layout if you look to your left, and you will see how one merchant's house developed from the 18th to the 19th centuries. You are looking at the side elevation of 44 to 46 High Street, known as Danish Buildings. The front part facing High Street was completed in 1858 as a purpose-built office block. But if you look carefully, you will see it was built in the front garden of a five-bay merchant's house built around 1770. And behind that would have been his warehouses that faced the river. I wonder how long it would take now to get planning permission to build a development like that in your front garden. In fairness, the river did have some public access. The High Street was linked to the river by a series of staithes. These are narrow cobbled streets that give small-time traders access to load and unload their goods. Many of these staithes still exist today, including the one you're now on. Of course, only the cobbled part was the actual staithe. We will see more of these staithes as we make our way down High Street. From the Middle Ages to the 19th century, around here would have been a hive of activity. There would have been offices, workshops, stables, warehouses, and of course inns and taverns. And two of those old taverns survive today. The Lion and Key I mentioned earlier, and the Old Black Boy.
Oh yes, just before we step back to High Street, please take a look to the far end of the staithe and you will see a swing footbridge over the River Hull. It is unique in that it is the only bridge in the country you can ride on while it's in operation. Okay, so if you could now make your way back towards High Street, turn right, and on your left you will see the Black Boy Public House.
It was first licensed in 1729. And is Hull's oldest pub. It was also one of the favourite watering holes of the poet Philip Larkin. We are now nearing the end of stage 6 of our walk, but just before we do, I will point out a couple of interesting staithes you may wish to visit before you start stage 7.
If you walk down High Street, you will come to Bond 31 Warehouse Staithe. It was built in 1828.
If you look through the gates down the staithe, you will see there are what appear to be warehouses on either side running down to the river and a gate at the other end leading onto the wharf. The buildings on either side are now used as offices for Hull College and for various small businesses. And a little bit further down High Street, still on the right, you will come to another pair of gates. These provide access to another staithe leading to Crowell House, dated 1664. The building itself is not accessible, but the frontage is, and it's really well worth a look. Both of these staithes are accessible during office hours, so if the gates are unlocked, it's okay to walk down. It really is worthwhile, if you can, to enjoy the atmosphere of the mid-18th century home. As you walk through these staithes, please remember these are working offices, so be as quiet as you can. You may want to have a look down the staithes, take a break, pop into one of the hostelries I've mentioned, or just rest your weary legs on one of the benches on the paved area down Scale Lane Staithe. Whatever you decide, when you're ready for the next stage, please go to just outside Bond 31 Warehouse and press Stage 7, High Street to the River, in your handset. See you then.